Good morning. We're continuing our Advent series this morning, and we've been thinking about Mary and Joseph. We thought about the shepherds, and this morning we're going to focus on the wise men. Now, this is all a classic Christmas quiz subject, and we had it at our home group on Wednesday, and I was surprised how knowledgeable everybody was. I was well impressed. So I've also been listening as we've been studying the Bible. So how many wise men were there? We don't know. What were their names? We don't know. Where did they come from? How did they travel? Well, we do. When I was at school, they travelled in a car, a taxi, and a scooter. Okay, and one was Pippin his Ooter. So, we'll probably, I don't know if we're singing that later. We Three Kings, they're all in R. One in a taxi, one in a car. Okay. It's a bit like that's along with shepherds washing their socks, isn't it? So one of those, okay. Anyway, we're thinking about the wise men or the magi, as they're called, and we'll think about them in a little bit, But somebody said, you've probably heard this before, but I'll say it again, it's quite funny. It's probably made by a woman. So if the wise men had been wise women, they'd have asked for directions. They'd have arrived on time. They'd have helped deliver the baby. They'd have cleaned the stable. They'd have made a casserole. They'd have brought practical gifts from mother care, like nappies, wipes, bibs, and formula milk. But they weren't. They were wise men. Okay, that's an entirely different story. So we're going to read from Matthew's Gospel. We're going to read the whole of chapter 2 this morning. So if you've got a Bible, I haven't even got it on the screen. So if you've got a phone, you might have one of these. This is a Bible, paper version. Wow. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read the whole passage. And it's an interesting chapter, okay? It's about seeing the unexpected. It's about making wrong assumptions. There's some prophecy thrown in. There's political intrigue and plotting. There's worship. There's mysterious messages from God. There's rage and murder. And the escaping and returning refugees, all in 23 verses. Okay, incredible. So let's read it, if you've got a Bible. Okay. Jesus was born, I've got it printed out here. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men or magi from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose in the east, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for that is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. He told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that had been in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod's brutal action fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Get up," the angel said. "Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill him are dead." So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Then, after being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophets had said: he will be called a Nazarene. Wow, as we said on Thursday, for those who were here. Well, there's a lot in this, isn't there? 23 verses, and we've got all that stuff going on. So we're going to just work through some of these thoughts as we go through the passage. Okay, we'll dip back into it, so refresh our memories as we go. So first of all, expect the unexpected. The so-called wise men or magi were thought to be astronomers or astrologers who studied the sky, the night sky. And they are thought to have traveled from Persia, okay, or what we now know as Iran. Okay. They may have been followers of a religion called the Zoroastrian religion, but they regularly studied the night sky. It was what they did. Okay. They were looking for signs. That's what they did. They were going about their usual business. And that's a theme, isn't it, of the Christmas story. Mary was going about her usual business. Joseph was going about his usual business. The shepherds were doing what they do. They were shepherding their sheep at night. And God breaks in to the situation. They weren't expecting, these wise men weren't expecting to see a new star, but God had got different ideas. So what about you? Okay. Are you seeing God in the ordinary routine of your life? In your work, in your home, in your school, in your college? God speaks to us all the time. God is called the Word. Jesus is called the Word of God. And he wants to commune with us and speak to us, to hear his voice, to guide us and to lead us. And it's kind of like we go about life and we're just in the regular routine of life. And sometimes God's not even factoring into that. But God's got working in people's lives who we come across each day. And he wants us to be part of that process. So I'd encourage you this morning, in the days ahead, to say, Lord, what are you saying in this situation? As I go into college this week, as I go into work this week, Lord, what are you doing in these people's lives? Turn up for me. Let me encounter you in this situation so that I can see what your hand is doing. And sometimes maybe God has been speaking to you and you're intrigued what you're finding out this Christianity stuff's about. You're digging a bit deeper. Perhaps that's why you're here this morning. You're like the wise men. Something or someone has caught your attention and you coming seeking. So the wise men sought Jesus. They sought the king. So perhaps as you're seeking as well this morning, perhaps you are a seeker. God wants to meet with you and encounter you this morning as we are here looking at this passage. Okay, then we're going to have some assumptions then. And this is a normal assumption you'd make, okay? If you're looking for a new king, where do you go? You go to the palace, okay? So the wise men, and they must have been quite prestigious people, because you don't just turn up at Herod's place and say, can I have a chat, okay? He was a ruthless king, as we'll find out later. He had all power, and if these people were just ordinary guys, they'd have gone, no chance. So there's probably more than three. There's at least two, isn't there? Because it's plural. But there's probably a group of them came, because you wouldn't travel all that distance. You know, you'd have an entourage with you if they were well-positioned people. They lot wealthy gifts, as we look at later. So there's quite a few people just turned up. They've probably traveled about 900 miles. So it's taken several months to arrive in Jerusalem. And they've seen the star, and they go to see where the new king would be in the palace. That is their assumption, okay? Verse 2, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose in the east, and we have come to worship him. Okay. Guess what? Herod is deeply disturbed. when he heard this news. Herod is the king, isn't he? He has all power over the place where he's reigning. So here he has an unknown threat, possibly treason, a king coming against me. He might lose his power, his position, and paranoia starts to kick in. Now, Herod has been in this place before. He murdered his wife and he murdered his sons. Okay, that's the kind of guy we're dealing with here. All right? So paranoia, he's dealt with quite brutally in his position. So what he does, he calls his priests and teachers to seek their advice. And he goes, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? Verse 4. In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for that is what the prophet Micah wrote 700 years before. In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for and it says, you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities, the lowest of the cities, because out of you will come the ruler, the Messiah, who will shepherd your people. So the priests know where Jesus is going to be born. They go, Bethlehem, 6 miles down the road from Jerusalem. So here we see prophecy fulfilled. Okay, Micah prophesied 700 years before Jesus was born that Bethlehem was the place of the Messiah's birth. And these priests knew that, but they weren't intrigued by what had been heard. There don't seem to be any reaction from them. They just tell the facts to Herod. Okay. So what does Herod do? Well, you can see the cogs working in his head here. He's thinking, okay, I can use this situation. I'll play it low key. So he calls for a private interview, a private meeting with the wise men, nobody else. Okay. And he learns from them the time when the star first appeared. All right. So this is where the timeline of the Christmas story kind of goes adrift. Because you come and watch the play at the school, everybody turns up at the stable. Okay, not the wise men. They thought they probably turned up about at least 18 months to 2 years after Jesus was born. Because Herod finds out from the wise men when the star first appeared. And as we look later, we'll see, Herod kills all the under twos in Bethlehem. So that's the time frame we're looking at here. Herod says, lads, go and find this Messiah and come back and tell me. So then I can go and worship him too. You do all the hard work and I'll come down afterwards. Okay, this is the political intrigue and the plotting that's going on. Herod starts to plot. And the wise men continue their journey down to Bethlehem. It's probably a 3 or 4 hour walk, I don't know, down to Bethlehem. And they arrive at their house. Okay, not the stable, they arrive at their house. And they see the child, not a baby, with Mary, his mother. But what's their reaction? What is their reaction as they go into that place? Verse 9. After the interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that had been seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. As they encounter the King of Kings, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, what is their response? They fall to their knees and worship and adore him. So my prayer this morning is for those of you who are seeking, that you too may encounter Jesus and worship him as King of your life. That's a prayer for all of us, really. As we are here this morning worshipping, as we have worshipped this morning in singing, may we fall down and worship him. Now, what's on your Christmas list? What's on your Christmas list? A bit of bling, a few smellies, okay? You might like a little piece of jewellery or your favourite perfume or aftershave, okay? I don't know. The wise men gave 3 gifts to Jesus. Okay, first of all, gold, the gift for a king. Okay, the gift for a king. Frankincense is a gift for a priest. The frankincense was used in the worship in the temple, and it represented the worship rising to God, the prayers of the people going to God. And the priest was the mediator between man and God in the Old Testament. And Jesus is our great high priest. He stands in the gap between us and God. He is the bridge which we cross. We are separated by our sin, and Jesus stands in the gap because he is the priest, the sacrifice. And myrrh was an expensive spice from Arabia or India, and it was used in embalming of dead people. And this speaks prophetically of the death and the sacrifice of Jesus. Now, these wise men, I don't know if they knew the significance of these things, probably not. They came and brought it because it was a great value. And they were thought that they were worthy of the king. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, you might have gold, or as Matt said, or frankincense and myrrh with you this morning. Okay? But as we worship and as we encounter him, what God wants is our hearts and our will and our lives. That's what God wants from us, and that's what we can surrender to him and give to him. We then have mysterious messages from God. There's a lot going on in this passage. Okay. Verse 12, when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. We then find a bit later on that Joseph has a dream twice, okay, warning him to flee. So God is using this method to speak to his people, to warn them. The wise men were preparing to leave. They'd had perhaps had a little cup of tea and a few cakes with Mary and Joseph. I don't know. Probably not. But God warns them to go back, not via the palace to see Herod, but by another route. God, if you like, as we encounter him, or as we encounter Jesus, wants us to travel in a new direction, to find a new direction in our life, to not go back down the old route where we've been, but to go a new way. And that's what repentance is about. It means to turn around and start again. And these men went back a different route, the safe route, not to Herod. So I challenge you this morning, what direction are you travelling in? Okay. Joseph also has a dream, and that's to flee to Egypt. Okay. And God is ensuring the safety of his son in this plan. God's plan of redemption cannot be thwarted by Herod or by man, because God's got a bigger picture going on here. And then we come to rage and murder. Now, we like to sugarcoat the Christmas story a little bit. We like the Victorian image, don't we, of the Christmas cards and the snow and the lovely nativity scene. But I think when Gilles spoke the other week, he kind of talked about the practical, what the reality of the situation was. And this is very real stuff going on here. Now, I can remember the Dunblane shooting of children in the school in Dunblane. And I was in London. I was in a meeting in London. I was coming back to catch the train at Euston. I pick up an Evening Standard paper, which was out then, and on the front of it, it said 15 children murdered in Dunblane in a shooting. And it still today remains the worst mass shooting in British history. Okay. There were 15 five-year-olds were killed and the teacher. The 16 children were injured. And I remember coming down the platform, and it's quite weird thinking about it. I actually filled up because Annabelle was a similar age. Okay. And I just felt the horror of what had happened to those children as this man had walked into the school with a gun and just shot them in cold blood. Horrific. Absolutely horrific. Herod is in that business. Okay? Herod is ruthless. He knows from the wise men the time that they saw the star was about 18 months to 2 years ago. Or perhaps it was 12 months ago. But just to cover it in case, we'll just kill everybody below two, and that'll just make sure we've got everybody. So he goes in and he murders these children. We don't know how many. Haven't got a clue. Horrific, isn't it? We don't like thinking about that at Christmas, but that's what was going on. Okay. And as I said earlier, he was no stranger to violence. He had no qualms about killing people who were near to him or threatened his position. And Herod sent his soldiers in. And there we have the fulfillment of a prophecy there where it says, the cry was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel, who was the sort of the mother figure of the Jewish nation, weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. But God has intervened and he's warned Joseph, you need to get out and go because somebody's coming to kill Jesus. And Joseph gets up and he goes that night and they flee to Egypt. And they are the refugees who flee, but they return. Okay, we read together that when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream again to Joseph in Egypt. Get up, the angel said, take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. So God protected his son, and he provided for them. I don't know, but this is me assuming things again. You shouldn't assume, but I am this time. That the gold, the frankincense and myrrh would help them as they moved to Egypt. It gave them financial stability, if you like. They've got gold which they could use. They've got frankincense, which is expensive, and myrrh. I don't know. But those were provided for them as gifts, which helped them in that time of need as they fled to Egypt. And then as they come back, they're still a little bit unsure because Herod's son is in charge. And so God tells them to go to Galilee and they settle in Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, as we say. And that's where he was prophesied that he would be a Nazarene, a person from Nazareth there. And he stayed there and grew until he started his public ministry. I don't know, 30 years later. We don't know how old he was. We don't know how long they stayed in Egypt. There's a lot of gaps in this. Some people think it was 2 to 4 years when Herod died. We don't know properly. But they returned. Okay. So, to finish. The wise men were seekers and travellers. In the ordinariness of stargazing, God turns up and changes their lives. Perhaps you are seeking. Perhaps you're travelling and you're looking for God. You're looking for purpose and meaning in your life. Well, Jesus is the journey's end. He's the one you need to find and to worship. He's the king, the priest, and the sacrifice for our sin. And just like the wise men, you need to take that step of faith. They had faith to go and follow that star, to find out what was at the end of that journey. And perhaps you need to take a step of faith to find Jesus. Secondly, we all need a change in direction, to travel another road. The Bible tells us that the road that leads to destruction is broad, but the road that leads to life is narrow and few find it. But the narrow road is the way we should seek to travel along. It is the road least travelled, but it's the one that God wants us to go through. That's in Matthew 7, if you want to look that up. So perhaps we need to look at our lives and perhaps reevaluate which road we're on, which road we're travelling along. And you may need to change a bit of direction. Ask God to show you. And then finally, and you've probably heard this before, wise men and women still seek Jesus. Wise men and women still seek Jesus. May we seek and find him this Christmas time, and may we fall down in worship and adoration before him on our knees.